Good morning. This morning's readings come from chapter 4 of Acts. The first part is verses 1 to 14. The priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, so the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. The next day, the rulers, the elders, and the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas the high priest was there, and so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and others of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. By what power or what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. Our second reading is also Acts 4. It's verses 23 to 31. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. "Sovereign Lord," they said, "you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus." After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Lizette, thanks for reading. Just to say, do have a word with Neil as you go out and remember him. So he's been seconded, just to say again, he's been seconded just for this year to St. Augustine's down in Whitchurch. Neil, we do wish you all the best from the midweek, and it's a real privilege that your very last service at Christchurch is our service. Isn't that great? Well, the last one for the year anyway, so that's good news there. I had better do a very short sermon. If that drilling starts up again, we're going to be in trouble, but isn't it blissfully quiet this morning? Oh, right. They're due to get back at about 10:30, so that's going to be interesting. So let's have a look at Acts chapter 4. Pentecost has taken place. Peter and John, full of the Holy Spirit, are going off to the temple to pray in chapter 3, and they meet a cripple, a beggar, who asks them for money. And they say, "We don't have any silver or gold, but what we have is, in the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk." And this cripple, who has been crippled over 40 years, walks, jumps, leaps, praises God, a very, very, very visible sign and witness of the power of the Holy Spirit. And this gets them into trouble. And then there is a trouble, there's a bit of a riot. Once upon a time, someone said to me, Princess Anne said that wherever she goes, she gets fresh paint, the smell of it. A bishop once said, wherever he goes, he always gets a cup of tea. And then he said, but wherever the apostles went, all they got was trouble and riots. They got thrown into prison, not for the first time, not for the last time, that Christians are persecuted for their faith. The following morning, Peter and John are brought before the Sanhedrin. That's this group of 70 Jewish elders and the high priest. And they say, by what power, by what name did you do this? By what authority? So Acts 4, verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said. We briefly touched on this last week. The change in Peter is amazing. The Holy Spirit gives him just the right words to say. The Holy Spirit gives him confidence and courage. The Holy Spirit helps him to remember random psalms that he had learnt years previously, and he quotes them. The Holy Spirit helps Peter to reply when he is in trouble before the Sanhedrin. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't know what your experiences are of being filled with the Holy Spirit. It might be when you were baptized or when you were confirmed and we prayed for the Holy Spirit to come upon us. It might be a particular time in your life when you prayed for a great filling of the Holy Spirit. It might be a time during a church service or during a summer camp or a visit to New Wine, whatever it is, that we feel the Holy Spirit pouring out on us. And the changes are there. For me personally, there was no great outward sign or manifestation. I never got a tongue of fire on my head or anything like that. But the changes were there and they did start. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. So Peter then turns to this learned bunch, the Sanhedrin, and he quotes Psalm 118 at them. Jesus, the stone you builders rejected, has become the cornerstone. And then quite a strong statement. Verse 12, salvation is found in no one else. There is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Salvation is found in no one else. There's no other name by which we must be saved. So he tells it to them straight, doesn't he? He's very, very bold. Now remember, he comes from a fisherman background. He's like an uneducated fisherman. He hasn't been to rabbinical school, the equivalent of theological college there. And yet he quotes this psalm to them. And that's quite a statement. You're not going to get salvation anywhere else, on earth or under heaven, unless you put your faith in Jesus. And this is what Christians, we believe. The only way to God is through Jesus. There is no other path to salvation. So let's have confidence in the gospel, confidence in Jesus. But they were astonished. How could these fishermen speak like this? How come they're so bold and eloquent? And one of the lovely little notes you get in Acts 4, when the Sanhedrin saw the courage of Peter and John, when they realized they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished. And they took note, these men had been with Jesus. These men had been with Jesus. So let's just meditate on that a moment. What does it do if you spend 3 years as a disciple with Jesus in very close proximity, day and night? You get to know him really, really well. They saw Jesus firsthand. They heard him firsthand. They saw the signs he did. They knew Jesus. So what does that have to say about us? How can we be with Jesus? How can we be better disciples? I think it's just the same. It's spending time with him. It's having little chats. You may remember Joyce Preddy, when I interviewed her for the midweek message, she said, and it's always struck with me, she said, "Oh, I don't use fancy words when I talk to God. I don't really pray." She said, "I just chat to God. I just tell him what's going on. I just chat to him." Let's keep just chatting to God, listening to him, walking with him. Been a Christian a very, very long time, and I can tell you now, there's no easy, quick fix to discipleship. It's just keep on going, keep on walking with Jesus, tune into him. So first thing in the morning, I sort of breathe in and try and focus on God and simply say, "Come, Holy Spirit," as I just breathe in first thing in the morning. Last thing at night, when I'm giving thanks for the day, and I'm just asking his blessing and thanking him, I tend to finish at the end of the day, "Lord, have mercy on me." It's much easier to do discipleship if you are with others, if you are in a small group. So again, as I've said before, I do encourage you to try and join a small group. It does help us with our discipleship. Anyway, the Sanhedrin let Peter and John go. And then they go back to their own people and they report all that's been said. They've been banned from preaching, but they ignore it. And I'm going to finish with verse 24. When they had heard this, they, that's all the disciples, remember there are a good 3,000 plus 5,000 at this moment. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. "Sovereign Lord," they said, "Sovereign Lord." So the response to the release of the two disciples wasn't a party, but a corporate prayer meeting. They raised their voices together, and it's such a good way to start a prayer, "Sovereign Lord." It reminds us God is sovereign. When we pray about the pandemic, God is sovereign. When we pray about that really difficult family situation, God is sovereign. When we pray about that hopeless place where there's a lack of job or money, God is sovereign. So do we have that same confidence that God is sovereign? He's in charge, in the power of the gospel to save and rescue. Peter then mentions another psalm, Psalm 2, a messianic psalm, and he's really pointing out that Jesus, the anointed one, is the Messiah. And their final prayer is one I'm going to end with. This is how Peter finishes this prayer meeting. "Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus." They don't pray for protection from those authorities that are persecuting them. Instead, they pray for boldness to speak. I was told once that in North Korea, the Christians there were saying, "Don't pray, as I often do, for our protection. Pray that we're bold to speak the message." Such confidence in Jesus and the good news. Peter's prayer talks about performing signs and wonders through the name of Jesus. Those signs and wonders, they authenticate the gospel that is being preached in the name of Jesus. Such confidence in the name of Jesus. And what was the result of this prayer? There was a little earthquake. After they prayed, verse 31, "The place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly." It's like a repeat of the day of Pentecost. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. It wasn't just a one-off at Pentecost. They were being filled again and again with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God boldly. And then the rest of the chapter talks about the change in their life, the radical generosity they showed. So let's just finish by thinking about those things now before Neil comes to finish and Katie plays for us. How are we being filled with the Holy Spirit, being led by the Holy Spirit as Peter and John were? What are we doing about our own discipleship journey, about spending time with Jesus? And do we have that same confidence in Jesus, that confidence in the power of the gospel? Let's just be quiet and think on those things, and then we'll continue.